So I think your question was, what is my confidence level that the NBA bubble is going to work?
It's going to go off as they've designed it. I think they're going to try really hard. And I think they've set up the best plan of any of the major sports to give themselves a chance. But even saying that, Mace, there's a different COVID story every hour.
Yeah, I know.
There was just Lindsay, was it a women's soccer team that had to drop out of the tournament because a bunch of them went out in Florida and all got COVID?
Yep.
So Mace, what happens if one of your 22 teams, they're going to test. If they have a Clemson or LSU type test, I mean, that's what I'm worried about.
Well, here's what Brian Windhorst, do you have this, Funch? Here's what Brian Windhorst said about the NBA bubble earlier this morning. I think he said this on Get Up.
Too big to fail. And Greeny, you could pull up clips from this show with me talking to you in April, and I was talking about some of these things that are coming to fruition now, and I thought that it was not going to happen because of it. But I am going to be honest with you. I didn't understand how the momentum of this would work. And based on the conversations that I'm having across the league, yes, there's going to be players start testing positive tomorrow. Yes, we're going to have players who are so focused on the societal challenges that we have that they can't play basketball. Yes, we're going to have players who say, I'm going to stay over here in Europe where I think it's going to be safer for my family. Yes, we're going to have players who are like, I don't think this is a good time for me to go to Orlando, not just because of the coronavirus, but because I've got free agency coming up and I'm worried about injury. And despite all of that, it's going to go forward. Whether that will be the mood in 2 weeks, I cannot tell you. But for now, this is going to happen. There's a lot of players excited about this. We're going to be dealt with setbacks. The league believes they protected themselves from those setbacks. But it is going forward.
So that's encouraging.
Yeah. Too big to fail. In other words, the NBA has invested far too much in putting this plan together in terms of the science, in terms of the details, in terms of protecting the integrity of the bubble. John, I use the term the integrity of the bubble. you do accept that that's a thing, right?
Yes, but I think it is going to be the integrity of the bubble is not going to be a hard and fast rule.
Okay,
I think
but then it's
going
not,
to be tested.
It's not going to work then. If guys go out and party, it's not going to work.
I don't think they're necessarily going to go out and party, but I do think that when you have, 22 teams, 15 people on a team, you got 300-400 players, I think that there are going to be guys that, a guy told me a story once, and I'm not saying this will happen in the NBA, but this is the type of thing people try. There was a coach years ago that was really strict about curfew.
Yep.
And the players all realized that if they violated curfew, they'd be in the doghouse. So the way they would get girls in to the hotel is they would pay the housekeeping staff to provide them with an extra set of uniforms. And they would get their girls to dress up like housekeepers and they'd walk right in the front door. Type of thing, that not that verbatim, but that type of thing is something that everybody's got to be conscious of. Particularly with some of these teams, like you point out, that are six games back with eight to go. Do you think all those guys are gonna respect the integrity of the bubble?
So one positive test.
There'll be more than one.
Two positive tests inside the bubble.
Yeah.
You risk other guys getting it. Guy, let's say bench player from Team X.
Right. Has from a one game of the teams the that's six games out with eight to go.
Okay, but they still have games, right?
Right.
They're still going to play teams like the Lakers and the Bucks. They risk the potential of getting somebody on the Lakers or the Bucks or whoever they play testing positive.
Correct.
And then that handicaps the Lakers. I mean, if somebody plays the Lakers and if some guy goes out and parties and picks up the corona.
Right.
They play the Lakers. All of the Lakers are at risk for getting it.
Correct.
That's why the integrity of the bubble is so important. That's why...
I'm not saying it's not important. I'm going to say it's tough to maintain. Do you disagree?
It's tough to maintain, but everybody's got to be serious about it.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about maids sneaking into hotels. This is what's going to sink the bubble. This is why I don't have confidence in the bubble. This is why the fact that guys may do what you're saying.
Saying that they're going to do it. I'm saying it's been done in the past. But here's, okay, maids, I'm going to try and make you feel a little better about the way they've set this up.
Okay.
Everybody is getting tested regularly. They're going to be tested pretty much every day they're down there. They're going to be tested the 2 days before they leave. They're going to be, their whole goal is containment. So don't you think that if somebody violates the integrity of the bubble, as you put it, that they'll get caught up in a test, that it'll be before they get out on the court against another team? Like, let's say the Lakers completely respect everything about the bubble and play by all the rules. Yet one of these guys that's six games out with eight to go doesn't respect the rules and goes out. Wouldn't he theoretically be caught by a positive test before he ever got on the court against the Lakers?
I mean, I would hope so. I don't know exactly why. I mean, I've heard people talk about it takes a couple days till you get a viral load, till you have a positive test, all that kind of stuff. I don't.
Well, according to the
CDC, I just know the best way to protect the bubble is for nobody to leave it.
Right, but the CDC has already come out and said it is almost impossible for someone who is asymptomatic to spread the virus to another person. All right, not impossible, but almost impossible. So you got those odds working in your favor. And then if anybody became symptomatic, they will have been tested regularly. And I think it turns up, that's what I think that all these sports are counting on, is that testing is going to be what gets them through this. So I think they've got a shot.
The thing we've got to be prepared for is a big star testing positive and being quarantined for two weeks.
Well, it could happen. I think we need to be prepared. I mean, Rudy Gobert is a pretty big star.
And it could happen at exactly the wrong time. It could happen in the finals. It could happen in the Western Conference semifinals. It could happen in it could happen during a Lakers-Clippers series, that somebody loses one of the big stars, that somebody like
Mace.
LeBron or AD or Kawhi or Paul George wind up testing positive and they're gone for 2 weeks.
Mace, I mean, it happened last year before the virus. Both Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson suffered season-ending injuries in the finals. Season-ending. There was a finals, Lindsay remembers this, there was a finals in which Kyrie Irving played great in game one and then got hurt and was unavailable for the rest of the series in the same playoffs where Kevin Love got eliminated in the first round.
Got his arm ripped out.
Yeah.
Not just eliminated, his arm ripped out.
Yeah, so Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving both went down in the same playoffs. And LeBron miraculously led that team to the finals anyway, but they lost.
Yeah.
I mean, what you're suggesting happens all the time. Last year, let me ask you, if Durant and Klay don't get hurt, do the Warriors beat the Raptors?
Yeah, they do.
Right. So, I mean, even though this time
you're saying getting the coronavirus is the equivalent of getting hurt.
It's the same result. Yeah.
Same result.
Yeah. I mean,
only one is entirely preventable.
I wouldn't use the word entirely. One is mostly preventable. I think that we could all do the right things, but I don't know how all these people are getting COVID. Do you? I mean, people that did everything right are still getting COVID. You know, they got unlucky.
Yeah,
I have no idea how my mom got it back in February. I have just no idea. She wasn't going anywhere. I don't know how she got it.
In terms of the ball, you got to hope nobody gets unlucky. Because a couple unlucky people are going to screw the whole thing up.
Right.
I mean, I think it's a fair question. Do you believe the bubble thing is going to work? 877-710-ESPN. Do you think it's going to work?
I actually think it's got a shot. I think it's got a real shot. I think they've set it up better than any other league. I mean, compare what the NBA has done to how the NFL's handled this.
Right.
And baseball's the Keystone Cops that can't get out of their own way. But the NBA has been consulting consistently. Dr. Fauci says he thinks the NBA thing has a shot.
Dr. Fauci says he thinks it's going to work. Absolutely.
I think you have to be prepared for the unexpected. including yes. that people are going to violate the integrity of the bubble. As much as you think that's not happening, I think that there's just a lot of people, and you can't trust everybody. You can implore them to be safe and follow the rules.
And that's why you need the snitch line.
Well, it's staying.
Yeah,
you know, guys like me and McMenamin were arguing to get rid of it, but they're not getting rid of it.
Yeah,
they're keeping it.
That's you could call it a snitch line, which I did, but you can also call it an anonymous whistleblower line.
Right. Well, whatever you want to call it, it's there. It's staying.
It's there. Yeah. So if you know somebody's going out, if you know somebody's sneaking out, first of all, they immediately, if somebody does go out, they immediately get quarantined for 4 days and get tested. That's all you need. If
just for leaving the bubble.
If you leave the bubble and you come back in, you've got to be quarantined for 4 days and test negative. To me, that's reasonable. So you use the anonymous whistleblower line to actually report somebody who has left the bubble. Now, you could say that's snitching, but I say that's protecting the integrity of the bubble. I really hope that eventually Adam Silver uses the term integrity of the bubble.
Well, he doesn't use the term bubble. He uses the word campus because he thinks of bubble. I think he thinks
a bubble sounds
bubble,
more restrictive.
Yes, exactly. And he doesn't want to make it seem like anyone's on lockdown.
Right.
And I think that was important to the players.
I'll tell you this
too.
Much. After hearing about cases with the Phillies and with the Blue Jays and with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
LSU and Clemson.
I feel less certain about the bubble than I did before. I feel less certain about football. Football, I just can't imagine. I don't know what they're doing. College football, no idea what they're doing. No idea. There is no uniformity in the way they're approaching this. Different universities are doing it in different ways. Different conferences are doing it in different ways. There's no unanimous approach that everybody is using to the COVID virus.
Like, well, think about this. Right now, USC is scheduled to play Alabama in Cowboys Stadium with fans.
Yep.
How's that going to happen? You know, social distancing is the opposite of what football is. And on top of that, Florida, where all these teams are going, where the NHL is going, where the NBA is, has had a surge in numbers. Matter of fact, there's a show in New York, the Michael Kay Show, that's on this. He does Afternoon Drive in New York when we do it in L.A. Same thing.
Yep.
Dr. Fauci was on with Michael Kay today. And Michael asked Dr. Fauci if he was concerned about the spike in coronavirus numbers in Florida. Here's what he said.
It's always a concern when you have an outbreak of the magnitude that we've seen in Florida. Technically speaking, if you abide strictly by the bubble that has been proposed as the mechanism of avoiding any issues with infection, that should not make that much difference. But the only thing is, you bubble the players. But when you're in an area where there's so much infection going on, you know, the players would have some kind of interaction with outside people. Somebody have to take care of them. People need to serve them meals and do things like that. I know that there's a good degree of safety around that because I've heard of the plans, and I've even publicly said that they sound like they're really good and well thought out and have been essentially planned to be implemented with a good degree of care. But certainly you would rather have it in a place where there is not a lot of activity. Hopefully, the Florida situation can get under control pretty quickly, but it certainly is concerning what is going on in Florida right now.
Well, he said something interesting there. He said, hopefully can get under control. Keep in mind, Mace, we're sitting here on June 22nd.
Yep.
We're 5 weeks away from the first game. Five weeks. So maybe those numbers could reverse.
Yeah, and did you notice he said abide strictly by the bubble?
But he made a good point. The workers at Disney World are not necessarily going to be living in the bubble. They're going to be going home at night. They're going to be going to the grocery store. Now, they're all going to be getting tested. But that doesn't necessarily, that's not foolproof.
Yeah, yeah. It's a gamble. It's a gamble. It's a gamble worth taking, as Brian Windhorst said. It's too big to fail, right? I mean, you've come all this way. You've done all this research. You've got all these scientists and epidemiologists that you've worked with to develop this plan. And you've got players willing to do it with just a few exceptions. So you go through with it, but you just have to be prepared for the unexpected. In terms of baseball, you know, baseball put out protocols, and baseball we anticipate is going to have some kind of season, probably 60 games, with a start of July the 29th, according to Bob Nightingale. There is going to be a baseball season, but they're playing in their home stadiums. It is too much for 900 games to be played in a bubble. 32 teams and 60 games is about 900 games. It's impossible to play it in a bubble. You got to play in your home stadiums. And you, there's regionality, of course, but players are sleeping in their own beds. I don't know how baseball is actually going to do it in terms of protocol. Football, forget it. I got no idea how football's going to do it.
Yeah, football I have the least amount of confidence in. Basketball I have the most. But I think you've posed an interesting question, and we'll open the phones. 877-710-3776. 877-710-ESPN. We've thrown a lot out there at you guys today. We've thrown a lot of football, a lot of NBA, a lot of Major League Baseball. You guys can react to any of it, but one thing I'm wondering is how confident are you that we're getting sports back? Because I'm kind of a glass half full guy, I'm sitting here saying basketball's gonna come pretty close to getting this right. They've done right. Everything right. I feel very good. That's obviously the one that's closest to me, so I'm really rooting for it. But I don't know. I don't know any, and I don't know what COVID's going to do to all this.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think? 877-710-3776.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Yeah, if you're just tuning in, Major League Baseball Players Association has turned down the players' owner of offer of 60 games with a pro rata salary. In turn, Major League Baseball is going to impose a season of about 60 games with a pro rata salary.
Yes, that's very weird that they wouldn't.
It's ridiculous.
And, you know, Trevor Bauer has been the all-star pitcher for the Reds.
Yep.
Has been tweeting. Here's one of his most recent tweets. If there's going to be a fight, the time for that fight is after the 21 season when a new CBA is negotiated.
Yep.
5 years of potential change. We're doing irreparable damage to our industry right now over rules that last for at most 16 months. WTF kind of sense does that make?
Yeah, so, but whose side is he on? I'm trying to figure out. Is he on the player side or on the owner's side?
But now what he's flipped to is that these two sides are entrenched. He thinks that he had tweeted earlier that it's absolute death for the industry for both sides to keep going like this.
Right.
I think he's right,
right.
Though.
And there's
they could have reached a compromise for 16 months and just lived with it.
He's right. I mean, you're basically negotiating for the rest of this season and for next season. And then there's got to be a new CBA. So why not peaceably come up with an agreement this year, 60 games, pro rata salary, expanded playoffs, no lawsuit, no grievance for $1 billion filed by either side. Why not just peaceably do that, knowing that you're going to have a much bigger and much more difficult negotiation down the road? You're not separated by anything at this point. The owners are offering 60 games. The commissioner is going to mandate something close to 60 games. Why not just say yes? Where's the yes in that?
All right, let's go to the phones. Here's Noah in Long Beach. Hey, Noah, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I am pretty confident that sports will be back, but I think it's really brave for the NBA to be using the championship as the experiment. The regular season will be fine. People can catch it, recover, come back, but it's pretty brave for the NBA to do it like
right,
this.
But no, I don't understand what the alternative would be. What would you want them to just figure the regular, finish the regular season and not do the playoffs?
Well, there's no answer. There's no good answer. So they have to do the hard answer. I mean, if your star player are out for the championship, will anybody but that team accept that result? So it's going to be hard regardless.
Yeah,
I think we all have to see. Thank you for the phone call. I think, Mace, we have to all see how it plays out.
Right.
If like a bunch of star players were kneecapped for whatever reason, by injury, by virus, or whatever, people would look at it as differently. But if everybody,
yeah, they'll look at it as yeah, but like right, if the Lakers play the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals and Kawhi Leonard tests positive for the coronavirus and the Lakers beat him, it'll be yeah, but.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had yeah, buts before. Last year was a yeah, but.
With Durant and Clay going
with
down.
With Durant and Clay. It was a yeah, but.
Yeah.
And you forget that over a period of time. This is an extraordinary year with extraordinary circumstances, and I think people are going to respect whoever comes out of this as a champion.
DeAndre in Torrance, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi, DeAndre.
Hey, fellas. You know what? I'm just at the point where I just want to say forget all sports. I think there's going to have to be a point where we're just going to have to take risks, get out there, see what happens, mitigate what happens. But until then, all the bickering, all the fighting, all the sighs, all the switching, all the just everything just makes me sick. Forget it. We didn't get out too long.
DeAndre, let me ask you this. If you forget sports, if you just say it's not important right now, we're not going to do it, there's a chance we may not have a cure for the coronavirus by the start of next season. Do you just forget sports next season also?
I mean, that's my point. To me, there's not going to be a cure. It's just a thing that we have to figure out and get through.
Right. It's the thing we got to live with. And I think that sports has to live with it, too. You know, baseball, football, the NBA, going to have to find a way to coexist with this thing and acknowledge that there are going to be positive tests sometimes. And there are going to be guys that get sick. It's not mandatory that they participate, but there are guys that are risking stuff. By going into the bubble or by playing if you're a Major League Baseball player or an NFL player. And we just have to accept that when we turn on the radio, when we turn on 710 ESPN during baseball season, we may hear Dodgers lose player X because of coronavirus for 2 weeks. That's just going to be a fact of living.
Thank you, DeAndre, for the phone call.
But there's no reason to scrap the whole thing.
Well, and at some point, Mace, you got to try and get back to life. I mean, and you can, sure, we could all shelter at home for another 3 months. But there are a lot of people that now can't afford to go on. They don't have jobs.
Right.
A friend of mine's a singer. And, you know, all of his gigs were canceled.
Yeah.
And he's had to schedule private gigs all around the country.
Huh.
That he's taking a bus to.
Wow.
And he can't tell anyone about them because he doesn't want the criticism. But he's doing it because he's had no income for 4 months. So he had to come up with a plan to get income. So, I mean, people are desperate. And some people, that's why a lot of people are getting back to you know, opening restaurants and opening, gyms. And, you know, there's been so many businesses that are just shut. You know, movie theaters, the world you used to be in,
right,
are very much on the bubble now as to whether they're going to make it or not.
Yeah, there's no question. And I think that with no vaccine and no good therapeutic so far, people are going to have to find a way to exist with it. And everybody's going to have their own comfort levels, and it may be that, you know, movie theaters are open and they don't operate anything close to capacity. That's very much a real possibility. I drove by restaurants. I've been going on drives. I was on a drive yesterday, drove through Pacific Palisades, looking into restaurants, and, you know, empty except for a few tables. Restaurants are trying to survive right now. Not necessarily all of them, unfortunately, are going to, but everybody in their own comfort. Like, you're going to restaurants.
Right. Well, I was, you know, my guilty pleasure is Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen. So he had Tom Colicchio and Padma on from, are they on Top Chef? Is that the show they're on?
Yeah, Top Chef.
And Colicchio thinks 80% of restaurants are dead, that they will never survive this. And what I've found in the last 2 weeks, I've gone out the last two Saturdays, is we've gone to restaurants with big, wide-open patios. So you're dining outside.
Yep.
It's every other table. You got to make a reservation. You wear a mask on the way in and the way out. All the servers are wearing masks. But to use the phrase you just used, we're finding a way to live with it. Comfort level is a huge part of this. You've said many, many times on the show, you are really scared of getting COVID.
Yeah.
I've kind of accepted that if I get it, I'm going to get it, but I'm going to try and go back to living my life a little bit, that I'm going to wear masks everywhere. But if businesses and restaurants are going to reopen, I'll give them a shot and give them some business. And maybe I can help contribute to that 80% that Colicchio thinks are going under.
Right, right.
But this is all a dance, and it's individual comfort level. And you and I are kind of a good lab experiment for this way, because I'm more getting back to life. You're still very cautious and taking it day by day.
Yeah, and I mean, it's got to be a high leverage, something I really, really want. I mean, I've joked, but I mean, I'm being honest. Like, I'm not going to go to a movie theater to see just anything, but I will go to see Christopher Nolan's new movie, because I am a huge Christopher Nolan fan, and I'm willing to wear my M95 mask and sit there for 2.5 hours or however long it is to see that movie. But I'm not just going to go to see any movie. I'm not going to roll out. Like, if the Rams have opening night against the Cowboys on September the 13th, I think it's September the 13th, yeah, against the Cowboys, and they say you can have 20% capacity, and they'll say, I'm one of those people. I am going to put on my M95 mask, and I'm going to go. But it's got to be something super cool and something that's really worth it for me to go out into the world right now. I'm not necessarily rolling into a restaurant right now, and I'm not necessarily rolling into a movie theater if it's not a great movie.
You know, we kind of swept it under the rug, but Albert Breer joined us at the very start of the show from Monday Morning Quarterback, Sports yep. Illustrated. And Albert is reporting that there's a movement now. I thought he originally thought he had two sources on this, but he says it's a lot more than two NFL owners, that they want to take the first month of the season and just put it on the back end. In other words, instead of opening first week in September, they would open first week in October and play the Super Bowl at the end of February, beginning of March, rather than at the beginning of February. And if that happened, Mace, your yep. Cowboys-Rams game would then be after Christmas, right? They would go October, right. November, December. It would be at some point in January. Is that something, like, knowing what we know now, that you'd be in favor of just delaying the start of the season and taking the first four games and putting them on the end?
I think that's backwards. I mean, if it does get really bad in the winter, like Fauci and those people say,
you lose all those games.
Why would you want more games at the end? You'd better off having more games early than
you'd
late.
You'd move it up to August 1st.
Exactly. I'd move it up. That would make the most sense. If the Rams didn't open till week four, they would open
five. They would take week five would be the opener.
They'd open at Washington and then go directly to San Francisco.
Right. So they'd have to gerrymander the schedule to work the buys in differently and, you know, all that stuff. But
yeah.
All right. Well, these are more things you guys can react to. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. We got Game of Games coming on later this hour as well. But phone calls next.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, 710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. Bob Nightingale got the story. MLB has decided to play a 60-game season. It will start, spring training will start July the 1st. The regular season will start the weekend of July the 24th through the 26th. He says, play ball. That's it.
All right. So we're going to have a baseball season. Whether or not the players are going to actively participate in it is the question. It is, wow, I can't imagine a lot of players are going to sit this out.
No, I can't either. I can't. I think the players are going to play. If big stars sit this out and don't play, it is a huge black eye for the game. And on top of that, it's unbelievably selfish on the part of those players. Mookie Betts is going to be a free agent, yes, but it's unbelievably selfish of Mookie Betts, one of the great stars in the game, to sit this season out if he were to consider doing that. And the other thing is that because they didn't reach an amicable agreement, the money's not going to necessarily be there next year. The owners are certainly not going to pay $300 million contracts after this debacle and the way it all went down. So Mookie Betts, I'm not sure what he's saving himself for. He should be in uniform for the Dodgers this year, and I would be unbelievably disappointed if he wasn't.
Okay, so the Major League Baseball has just released a statement. They say this is what, and they said they've asked the players to respond by 2 o'clock tomorrow, our time, with two pieces of information. The first is whether players will be able to report to camp within 7 days by July 1st. And the second is whether the players will agree on the operating manual, which contains health and safety protocols. Here's what the season would kind of look like. Universal DH for 2 years. Guaranteed $25 million in playoff pools this season. And then a bunch of stuff that has to do with the percentage of money that the players would get. Over the last 2 days, MLB agreed to remove expanded postseason in 2021, which you like because you don't like the expanded postseason anyway, right?
Right, I don't like it. Too many teams. They wanted 8 teams in each league.
So, man, a lot happening. Let's go to Matt in Bell. Matt, you're on 710 ESPN. How you doing, Matt?
Good. I want to say thank you guys for taking my call. And I guess I more or less have like a question for you guys. Like, let's say that we just shut football, basketball, and baseball down for the season, and we concentrated solely on getting prepared safety-wise, mentally-wise, physically-wise for next year.
Okay.
Like, what would be such a bad thing about that? And then just the last comment I want to make, being a diehard Dodger fan, I don't want a trophy after – I mean, it's been since 1988 – I want the 162-game trophy.
Wait a minute. As a Dodgers fan, you would not accept a trophy if they win the World Series this year?
I would accept it, but I think in 20 years from now when we're talking to the grandkids and they say, oh, yeah, I remember that year. That's the year of the COVID when you guys won. You mean the 62-game one? And we'd be like, yeah. 62 games.
Well, yeah, we won the COVID year. The COVID year was challenging, man. Hey, it's tough to win during the COVID year.
162 game one is the ultimate prize. It's the one that's been going on since I don't know how long, but you know what I mean? I'm just saying that's just my opinion and my preference. Hey,
no, Matt, that's why we're glad you called. But let me ask you a question. Let me respond to your first question. What would we think if they just shut everything down and said, let's get the 2021 season set up safety-wise and move forward? The reason that they're not doing that automatically is that thousands of people are out of work. Thousands. They have no livelihood. These are all the people that, and the TV money that they would receive would allow at least some people to go back to work. So that's why they're trying. You know, the NBA knows this may not work. They know they may have to shut it all down for COVID, but they're trying because, and I'll give you an example. The Golf Channel today fired everybody. They just got rid of everybody. They said the Golf Channel is closed. We're moving it to Connecticut. And all those people are out of work immediately. That's why they're trying to get this season, for lack of a better word, saved. Does that make sense to you?
It does, but then the flip side to that is, let's say that some of the people, like everything that you guys have talked about, is there's a lot of holes. A lot of holes.
Yep.
And let's say we get some of these older coaches that go in there or physical trainers that come in the bubble, and one of these guys get it, and God forbid they die. I mean, that's a pretty big thing.
Okay, but how do you think that's going to change? How do you think that's going to change in a year?
I'm praying that we have a vaccine by then. I really am.
Well, I think we all are, but there's just no guarantee.
I really am.
And by the way, Matt, I want you to know, you don't sound crazy. I mean, no. There are a lot of people that have your viewpoint on this.
I've been on Facebook, and a lot of people are saying that.
I think this is a completely legitimate opinion. And I think that you are voicing the safest way to move forward. But again, these commissioners are trying to save jobs and income for thousands of people.
And it's also for everybody's emotional health. I mean, we need something to bond over right now. We need something to bring people together, and sports is a huge part of that.
I mean, Matt, we're up until 3 in the morning watching Korean baseball. That's how desperate we are. So I think that...
The other day, and I watched an inning, and when I didn't see no fans in the stands, I was like, this is what we got to look forward to.
Right, well,
and baseball and Korean baseball, we got the stars of the MLB, and we're going to know who they are a little bit more. But some of these games, there's nothing like the sound of the fans in the background. Seeing LeBron James come down with a monster dunk and the fans go behind.
Hey, Matt, don't rule out the fact that some of these networks, I've worked for a lot of these people, some of these networks are going to try and recreate that.
Yeah.
They're going to put crowd noise in. They're going to put CGI fans in the background, and you're going to feel like you're watching a movie. And I don't know how it'll come off, but I think necessity is the mother of invention, man. Yeah, they're going to come up with some stuff.
It's going to look different than it has in the past, but
well,
it's going to be something.
For the Rams and Cowboys week one, so I'm really hoping for the best.
Yeah, you'll be Mason will be there too if it happens. Hey, Matt, thank you for calling. It was a really good call.
Mace, I think is this going to be perfect? No. Is it even going to work? I can't guarantee that. But I admire these leagues for trying.
Yeah, amen.
You know, we've spent the better part of 3 hours today talking about all the reasons why it might not work. I still think all of them should try.
I think of them, the NBA is the sure thing. Baseball is a legit possibility. Football still seems like the long shot to me.
Totally agree. All right, coming up next, Game of Games. It's my game today. I've invented a new game that I think has the potential to work, but the three of you will determine it. It is a competition between Mason, Lindsay, and Funchess, and it's coming up next.
Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. And this is the one where we, John and I, each come up with a game, and we keep track for the course of a month. And right now, Lindsay leads 2-1
winning Thursday and Friday.
By the way, we are handicapped by the fact that we are both going to have some time off, and that counts into our, that's just a handicap.
I'm not worried.
I'm off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You're off next week. I think you need to pile up some games this week in order to protect a lead, because I think you're out for the rest of June.
Okay. So I obviously can't win today because I've got the game. This is called the guessing game. Your name is your buzzer. I'm going to ask you guys a question that I guarantee you will have heard of the answer. Okay, these are things that you have rattling around in your head somewhere, but you may not be able to summon them right away. If you buzz in, you get 3 seconds to answer.
Okay.
If you miss, the other two people get a clue. And if a second person buzzes in and misses, the third person gets another clue.
Okay.
So the trick here is you have to weigh, do I want to guess and steal the point, or do I want to wait for a clue?
Got it.
All right, so let's try it. Your name is your buzzer. If you know the answer, buzz in. Lindsay's playing. Funchess is playing. Mason's playing. Here's question one. Who is the NFL's all-time leader in touchdown passes? 3, 2,
Mason.
One. Mace.
Peyton Manning.
Incorrect. You're out. So Lindsay and Funch get a clue. And the clue is he is still
Lindsay.
Active. Lindsay.
Drew Brees.
Drew Brees is correct. Yeah, and Lindsay correct. Is the victor. 547 Mace. Peyton Manning and Tom Brady are second and third. All right. So Lindsay takes a 1-0 lead. All right. Here we go. If you listed every weekday host on ESPN LA alphabetically by their last name, Will Kane would be first. Who would be second? 3, 2
Lindsay.
One. Lindsay.
Keyshawn?
Incorrect. You're out.
Funch.
Funch.
LZ.
LZ is the correct answer. LZ Granderson. And Funchess is on the board. Very good.
I need to learn how to alphabet.
Okay. Question three. There are 7 of these, by the way, and I have a tiebreaker. What actor or actress holds the record for the most all-time acting Emmy Awards? Three, two, one. Okay, here's your first clue. She has won Emmys.
Mace. Julie Louis-Dreyfus.
Julie Louis-Dreyfus is correct, and this game is all tied.
I know
one
that was
one
recently a fast-track answer.
Yeah, I thought you might get that. Okay. Here is question four. Very competitive so far. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the NBA's all-time leading scorer. Karl Malone is second. Who is third? Three, two,
Funch.
Lindsay.
Funch.
Kobe?
Incorrect. Yeah. You're out. Lindsay, you want to wait for the clue or you want to guess?
I'll wait for the clue.
Okay. He is still active.
Lindsay. Is it LeBron?
It's LeBron. LeBron James is the NBA's
just passed Kobe.
Yep, just passed him. And Lindsay has taken a 2-1 lead. Okay. Next question. If all four of the Beatles were alive today, who would be the oldest? Three.
Lindsay. George Harrison?
Incorrect. You're out.
Funch. Ringo
is correct. Oh. And Funch has two. Lindsay has two. And Mace has to nail the last two to win the game. Okay. Two more left. And we may need the tiebreaker. Barry Bonds has the MLB home run record, followed by Hank Aaron and Babe Ruth. Who is fourth? Three, two,
Lindsay.
One. Lindsay.
Is it Mark McGwire?
No, you're out.
Dang it.
Okay, here's a clue. He played in this century. Three, two, one. All right. Here's the second clue. He is coupled with a person perhaps more famous than he is. Mace.
A-Rod.
A-Rod is the correct answer. And it's 2-2-2. Wow. Okay, it all comes down to this. Whoever gets this wins the first ever guessing game. Turned out way better than expected.
Yeah, very dramatic. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Meryl Streep has the most ever Best Actress Oscar nominations with 21. What actor, what man has the most nominations? Three, two, one. Here's a clue. He is still alive. Three, two, one. All right, here's the second clue. You can often see him across the street from our studio.
Mace. Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson, and Mason wins the initial guessing game.
Yes.
Jack Nicholson has, I thought you might get that sooner, Mace. He has 12 nominations. Just three wins, but 12 nominations and has more than any man ever.
Yes.
And
yes.
Mace gets a much needed victory to tie Lindsay because you're only
Good
playing
job,
twice this week. Oh, you're only playing
Lindsay,
once this week because tomorrow is your game.
Yeah, Lindsay 2, Mason 2, Ireland 1, Funch 1.
And Mace has a game tomorrow.
Yep, my game tomorrow.
That was very well played by all of you.
Yeah, I thought everybody did well there.
I thought everyone did well.
Hey, I wanted to ask you something. Gunnar Pedersen was
great
talking. He's the what's his official title?
I believe he is the director of athletic performance, but I'll look it up.
So he was with Spectrum Sportsnet to talk about where players are in terms of their physical fitness, and he said, "Here's what he said." There's basketball shape, then there's conditioning. There's physical shape, then there's conditioning, and then there's basketball shape. And it's hard to stay in basketball shape when you're not playing basketball. That said, the Lakers have stayed in cardiovascular shape. They've stayed in strength shape. they've worked on flexibility. It's like riding a bike. And once you get back on, it takes a while to get used to riding the bike again. Do you think we're going to see sort of a compromised version of the NBA to start when we start on July the 31st?
All right, first of all, let me give you Gunner's proper title. He is the Director of Strength and Endurance Training. So it actually lends itself to your question.
Yeah.
He's right. There's a difference between basketball training and other training, but I do not think the product will be watered down. I think it may take. I think the shooting percentages may be low in the first couple of regular season games, but I think that will be figured out fairly quickly. And I think by the time the playoffs start, you'll see the same product that you were seeing when they shut the season down.
But you don't think those first eight games will be like preseason games?
I think they might be. I think the first 2 to 3 games might be like that.
Okay, so it'll be compromised a little bit.
In the first 2 to 3 games. And candidly, I think that's why we are having 8 games. I think that's why they didn't just come back and start the playoffs with 16 teams.
Right.
I think that the players who are involved in all these negotiations wanted to ramp things up, and that's why they asked for the 8 games.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. It'll be more; those 8 games are going to be more important to some teams than others. I mean, they're not necessarily all that important for the Lakers. They've got a significant lead. They would have to completely fall apart. And I think is it the Clippers who are second right now?
Yeah, they're 5.5 games up with only 8 to go. It would have to be like the Lakers would have to go 0-8, and the Clippers would have to go 6-2.
Yeah.
In order for that to happen.
So unlikely, but all those other teams playing for seeding, it matters. And teams at the bottom in particular, I mean, Memphis is obviously going to play to win every game. They need a 4-game advantage by the time it's over in order to avoid a play-in. And I think they're going to. I think the Lakers and Grizzlies are going to play in the first round of the playoffs, which is
too.
A fun series. I mean, yep. I think the Lakers will win it comfortably, but I think it's a fun series.
And John Morant's really fun to watch. If you, for whatever reason, didn't get a chance to see him play this season and the Lakers meet the Grizzlies in the playoffs, you'll love watching him. I think the Lakers win that series in 5 games. But I'm very biased. They swept him during the regular season.
Yeah, but I mean, I think you're right. I don't even think that's a matter of bias. I mean, Dylan Brooks is a nice player. Jaren Jackson, if he's healthy, is a nice player. John Morant is developing and is having a really good season. Is probably going to be Rookie of the Year. So I mean, I think it's a fun team, a good team to watch. But I think they're a couple of years away from being a real force in the Western Conference. But a nice group. They've got a nice group down there. But you're right. I think it's a 5-game series.
I agree. Okay, coming up next, Crosstalk. We'll get Sliwa in here.
Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Hi, Sliwa's here. Didn't I tell you all along I never had any doubt, Sliwa, that there would be a Major League Baseball season?
You know what? You know, it's crazy, too, John. Remember 2 weeks ago, we were trying to guess how many games, and you said 60. I think you were the only one that was saying 60.
Yeah, I got lucky. That was a guess.
Is that pretty much what it's looking like now? It'll be 60 games?
Yeah, but the players have to approve it. By the way, we've been during this whole commercial, we've been debating back and forth as to whether or not these games, if they happen, would include a universal DH. Lindsay, your interpretation is it will not. My interpretation is it will. Bob Nightingale has tweeted, there still will be a universal DH in 2020 since it was agreed upon as part of the health and safety protocols, but not in 2021. So that would mean guys like Giancarlo Stanton and maybe in the Dodgers case, Justin Turner would be able to play every day as a universal DH. But, Lindsay, you think that it may not happen, right?
Well, no, I was just saying that the MLB statement, everything that we read off earlier, I think it was you that read it, John, that said, this is what we offered the players, and this is what they rejected. And that list includes the universal DH for 2 years, a guaranteed $25 million in player playoff pools, in 2020, et cetera, et cetera. And then they said, following that list of items, In view of this rejection, the MLB clubs have unanimously voted to proceed with the 2020 season under the terms of the March 26th agreement. The provisions listed above will not be operative. Therefore, they will not have a universal DH for 2 years.
But my question is, do they have it for 1 year? Do they have it for this run of playoffs over the next few months? And literally, if you Google that, if you Google universal DH, it's baseball people are in dispute over whether or not this is happening. Now, I agree with you that there's not going to be one for 2 years. But Mace, what's your interpretation about whether or not we're going to have it for this season?
My interpretation is that there was some wrinkle, and it's been a while since I read the March agreement and looked at the details of the March agreement, but I think that's part of what Rob Manfred was able to dictate and what was anticipated all along. So I think there will be a universal DH.
I do too.
At least for 1 year.
I think for this, whatever this is, the 60-game thing. Now, it has to be. It still has to be improved by the players, is the amazing thing. Like you guys were just talking about.
Wait a minute. There's nothing. What is there to approve? They've already agreed to this in March.
They have to agree to spring training.
They have to agree to spring training in a week and all the health and safety protocols. That's in the statement that Manfred just issued. He gave him until 5 o'clock tomorrow to answer.
No spitting, no sunflower seeds.
Yeah,
is that what we're down to?
All that stuff.
Mace, you don't think they'd agree with that, right? Like you don't think they will agree to it?
I think they will.
I do too. But I'm not saying Lindsay's wrong either. I think they could, because they hate these guys so much, just say screw you.
I feel like the fact that they declined the owner's most recent offer of 60 games plus all of these things that they wanted, which included more money, you know, instead of only giving them, you know, 100% of their prorated salary, they were actually going to give them more than that, which was 104%. Consider they declined the most recent proposal that included all of these additional things. It makes me think there's a good chance, or at least a chance, that they're going to just decline to agree to these final two pieces, because they're actually giving themselves less than what they could have had they accepted the last proposal.
Yeah, Lindsay, if they do you guys think that means no season?
No, I think there's a season no matter what.
They'll figure out some way to get them out there?
Yeah, maybe delayed, but I think there's a season no matter what.
Okay, so Sleeway, have you been following this NASCAR story today?
Yeah, I definitely was watching it.
And so Bubba Wallace, who NASCAR issued a statement last night that somebody left a noose in his garage. And today the drivers, in an incredible show of unity, pushed Wallace's car to the front of the line. And everybody walked behind the car, all the crew members for every team, all the drivers. And Wallace sat in front and he took a picture, which is trending on Twitter. Bubba Wallace just finished that race and gave a press conference afterwards. Here's what he said about the day he's had.
This is probably the most badass moment right here. It's been tough. It's been hell. Really, I wouldn't say hell. It's just been hectic, you know, carrying its weight and carrying its burden. I wouldn't really say burden either. I'm proud to stand where I'm at and carry a new face. Look at this. First time right here from Atlanta. That is so cool. The sport is changing. The deal that happened yesterday, sorry I'm not wearing my mask, but I wanted to show whoever it was that you're not going to take away my smile, and I'm going to keep on going. I've been a part of this sport for a really long time. I'm still kind of a rookie, starting to figure this plate stuff out. We had a good race going today in our Victory Junction Chevrolet, but man, I know I should have won that damn race. We ran out of gas. Just the stars didn't align for us completely, but all in all, we won today. The pre-race deal was probably one of the hardest things I've ever had to witness in my life. From all the supporters, from drivers, from crew members, everybody here, the badass fan base, thank you guys for coming out here. This is truly incredible, and I'm proud to be a part of this sport, Jamie. Like I said earlier, I got a long way to go. And we'll keep on trucking. Another top 15 for us. We'll take it. And We'll just go on to Pocono, right? Okay, Pocono. So, hey, I'm still smiling. Long week ahead of me, probably a couple weeks, probably a couple months. Courtney's going to lay some interviews on me, so I'll be ready for Pocono, though.
I love John. I love the sport is changing, and you do kind of feel that. I mean, just NASCAR and these – listen, there's an incredible amount of unfortunate situations that have come out, but you could just say, all right, well, the Confederate flag now banned within the last 2 weeks, which is still crazy to think that it wasn't banned prior to then. And then the support and obviously the unity that the sport is showing. And then you could even put the sport to the side for a second. Just think about how many different people were watching and, you know, just kind of see how things unfolded for the last 24 hours. And they put the FBI on this to find out who left that noose there. So, you know that, you know, sometimes in the worst positions, Mace, at least they'll raise awareness and hopefully some good comes out of it.
But, oh, yeah. No, I mean, they're going to find the guy. Whoever it is, they're going to find the guy. Apparently, they did a huge rebuild of Talladega and all kinds of security cameras all over the place. They're going to find the guy, and he should be run out of the sport, and he should be run into jail because that's a hate crime. That's a threat. There's no way that that can be interpreted otherwise, and he needs to go to jail, whoever that is. That's not just you're out, you're suspended. That's you're going to jail, and that's the way it should be. And part of this is regional, obviously. I mean, I talked about this earlier, but, I mean, come on. The South, these are the folks that are clinging desperately to the Confederate flag and their Confederate monuments. You know, and we can, I'd love to say we can wave a magic wand and make racism disappear from NASCAR, but that's going to take years. And frankly, it's going to take a generation of fans to be able to do that. So it's a good story for Bubba Wallace. It's great that he's been able to triumph over this, but it's going to take a very long time for NASCAR to surpass its racist history.
By the way, I know you guys mentioned it, John, but how powerful was that moment? Just literally him driving and all the drivers and a lot of the pit members just going along with the car. That's going to go down as one of the more iconic moments in NASCAR history. You know what I mean? That was a pretty special moment there.
Well, and they weren't driving. They were pushing his car. All those drivers were like pushing his car. I mean, like literally carrying him. And I compared him earlier, Alan, to Jackie Robinson. I know it was much harder for Jackie and the country was much more racist. But as Mason pointed out, in the South, a lot of the country still is racist. And so for Bubba Wallace to have to be the one black driver in that group, I think he's handling it really well. And I think when history looks back on him, they're going to say he's the guy that helped kind of push the sport forward. And it's fascinating to watch the ESPN reporters, the NASCAR reporters like Marty Smith and Ryan McGee, you know, who grew up in the South. McGee grew up in South Carolina. His family fought for the Confederacy. And the way that these guys report with incredible passion, the fact that this is so long overdue. That this moment has, you know, should have come 20 years earlier, but now that it's here, they can't let it slip. That anybody who doesn't get it and anybody who wants to continue to fly the Confederate flag or wants to put a noose in Bubba Wallace's garage has to be identified, shouted out, and shamed. And if and when that happens, then the sport can move forward. So it's happening right in front of us. It's pretty fascinating to watch.
And by the way, that goes for the whole state of Mississippi. With the Confederate flag embedded in their flag. How's that going to change? Who's going to change that?
Well, it's going to take somebody with incredible vision. You know, Nikki Haley helped take those monuments down in South Carolina.
Yeah.
Mitch Landrieu, who was he the mayor of New Orleans?
Mayor of New Orleans, yeah.
You know, basically got those monuments taken down. And he said, it's just an ugly part of our history that make black people really uncomfortable. And you could use that exact sentence, just cut the words out. And that's how the Confederate flag is. It makes black people uncomfortable. And if it's part of your state flag, you got to get a new one. You know, just come up with another one. It's not that hard.
Mace, the one thing, too, like you were just mentioning, how does it happen? At least, you know, those are, whether they're fans or they're part of the sport, whatever the case is, they're being exposed. You know what I mean? I mean, it was just two months ago. Do you guys remember that? They had that iRacing. This was something that NASCAR was putting together. One of their drivers used the N-word when he thought his mic was off.
In an iRace. In a race that was basically a video game.
Right? And that was just 2 months ago. Or even, you know, I'll say this, and I'm I know so little when it comes to NASCAR. The only thing I know is Jimmy Johnson went to the same high school I went to. That's about it. But Richard Petty, who's the team owner of Petty Motorsports, who Bubba Wallace drives under, when the protests, not protests were going on, when Colin Kaepernick was kneeling in the NFL, and you know, obviously he was taking his stand, he's quoted as saying pretty much he'd fire any NASCAR drivers who protested during the national anthem. So the sport itself also has a lot to clean up. And certainly what today looks like than a couple years ago or even a couple months ago, it's pretty incredible how quick things are changing, because you know, you could just go back literally a couple months ago and they were still the same.
Well, and it's important to point out that it's not going to change overnight. It's going to take years to you know, kind of change the hearts and minds of people who have always felt that way. We just got a tweet from Jeff, one of our listeners, and he says, I hate to tell you guys, but as much as it's easy to say it's the South, if you think those same people don't exist in my hometown, he's a Manhattan Beach guy like me, you are sadly mistaken. Jeff, we know they do, but here we already shout it down. You know, here nobody is sporting
Confederate flag. Exactly.
And if they did, they would be laughed out of the room. In the South, if you drive for 25 minutes, you might see five of them. You know, that's the difference. Yeah, of course, there's still racism everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, as evidenced by that awful note that Jeannie Buss got last week that she made public on Instagram. I mean, that element still exists out there here in Southern California and around the country. But the South, I think, in a lot of ways, it's embedded in the South because of the Confederate flag and because they fought. And by the way, you know what? The part of it I never understand is, first of all, they tried to secede. Secondly, they lost. They were losers, right? I mean, you're siding with
people sticking with their team.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. All right, so Jim Bowden, who I trust with baseball, he says plan is to implement 60-game schedule, no universal DH.
Okay, but he's in direct conflict with Nightingale here. That's what makes this so interesting.
No $25 million in playoff pool money to players.
I think that the way that Bowden, since he did that, like, quote tweeting the statement that MLB sent out, I think he's referring to, and I could be wrong, but it looks like he's referring to no universal DH for 2 years.
Correct. That this year it's going to happen. If you go through Nightingale's tweets,
because it's in the original agreement.
Yeah, he says that it was part of the March 26th original agreement that they would have a DH for, as Lindsay points out, this year, 2020. What they rejected by turning down the owner's offer today was the 2 years of universal DH, which I'm completely okay with. I think it'd be fun to see no DH for 60 games. But then they have the right to say next year, screw it, let's go back to the pitchers hitting in the National League. Which makes, if I had a chance, I actually like the strategy of the National League. If I had to make it universal, I'd just get rid of the DH, not make it not add it to both leagues. Would you?
Yeah, I'm the same. Although you're also a big the game's too slow guy. That slows down the game. With a DH, the games go faster.
Right. What I like about no DH is, all right, let's say Clayton Kershaw's pitching great. It's 1-1.
Yep.
It's the bottom of the sixth inning, and you have the bases loaded with two outs, and Kershaw comes up.
Do you pinch hit for him? Right.
Right. Do you trust your bullpen to get you those last nine outs, or you say, no way, Kershaw's throwing a one-hitter, I can't get rid of him, and maybe you don't score and it stays 1-1.
The better question is, do you trust Dave Roberts to make the right decision?
Well, he gets a text from Andrew Friedman and the people in the front office, and then he makes his move.
Because he guesses wrong a lot.
Hey, Mace, one thing that I can't understand in this, because everything's coming down to money, how many games, so why take out the expanded playoffs? How does that help anybody?
Well,
like, how does that help the players?
Well, you asked the right guy. Mason hates the expanded playoffs.
I hate the expanded playoffs. I mean, to me, turning it into the NBA is not the right plan. Turning it into the NHL, eight teams per league is not. To me, baseball isn't like the NBA. The NBA is very, very chalky when you get to the playoffs. The one seed is going to beat the eight. The two seed is going to be the seven. There are great exceptions to this, obviously. But let's just say in a 16-team playoff situation, Last year, the Dodgers would have drawn the Mets in the first round in a best-of-three series. The Mets would have been able to throw Cy Young Award winner Jacob DeGrom, followed by Noah Syndergaard. You could lose that series. A three-game series, that can go either way. That is flip a coin, man. And when you're playing a whole bunch of games, you want the best team to win. And the best way for the best team to win is to create more games to increase the sample size. I think a three-game series is a garbage idea.
So definitely NBA, we'll use that as an example. It's all for revenue, right? I mean, you only have 16 teams going because not because you think number one has a chance to be upset by number eight. It's just because it's going to be extra playoff revenue. But what I meant from a baseball perspective, if the question is coming down to money, and if the question was coming down to, I agree, a three-game set, that's shaky for any team. I don't care if you won, you know, if you won 90% of your games, that's shaky. You can have two bad games and be out of the postseason. But I thought just from a financial basis, how does it hurt the players to have more games in the postseason?
They're not paid by game. There is a guaranteed $25 million in playoff pools in 2020. So they get paid a flat rate for the playoffs. Is that right, John?
So it's the owners that are making all the money. Yeah.
The owners are making all the money on the TV. The players aren't necessarily making a bunch more money. And that was the lever that the players were trying to pull in order to get the owners to bay to their demands. And it didn't work. So we're going with the standard playoffs. And you know what? From a Dodger perspective, I'd much rather have the standard playoffs. I would much rather. I don't want a three-game series against the Mets. I don't want a three-game series against the Cardinals. I don't want a three-game series where you face John Flaherty. I don't want a three-game series against a team that's got an ace because it tilts the balance of the whole thing. You can quickly lose a three-game series on a two-game losing streak. So the more games, the better for the Dodgers. So I like the fact that they're sticking with the standard playoffs.
And Mason, that's not even counting if there's an injury or if somebody gets COVID. So, of course, it's for the Dodgers specifically, no question about it. It's
God, somebody gets COVID. Oh, jeez. Yeah.
That's a whole other thing. Hey, we got a break.
All right, let's break. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Crosstalk on 710 ESPN is powered by Power Pro Heating and Air and their Crosstrade Power Pro Service Specials. Great Crosstrade service for our 710 ESPN listeners right now. A $99 drain cleaning, go to powerproplumbing.com. Hey, John, I was just going to throw in, listening to you guys before we did Crosstalk.
It was great, wasn't it?
where does it rank, Mace? Where's this one today?
Library of Congress. This is going to the Library of Congress.
This is the one.
Today. This is the one. We're going to submit to the Library of Congress.
Oh, by the way, I mean, how many times have we been doing this now for the last last week? It did 100 days without sports or, you know, without some of the.
What are we now? Are you counting?
I think we're 100.
Like, do you have like on your wall in chalk? You're just like number of days without sports.
I'm just writing with a Sharpie on the wall. I might as well. I'm not going anywhere for a long time. But that caller that you had about basically saying, look, let's scrap 2020 and let's try and start sports again in 2021. And John, you mentioned that you feel
his
that
name, by the way, is cancel everything guy.
John, you said that there are fans that feel that way. Have you guys got a lot of callers that kind of took the stance of we're trying to push something that doesn't sound like now is the time for it. Just squash it and let's wait till 2021. Have you guys got a lot of those types of calls over the last?
There's not as many now. We used to get tweets from like the same few guys every day saying, you can't have sports. What are you idiots? You're killing people. Everyone's going to die. And then when sports slowly started to consult with medical people and come up with plans with doctors that might work, like Dr. Fauci thinks the NBA bubble has an excellent chance of working. Yep. Then those people disappeared back into their woodwork. But there are still some people that feel like it's crazy to play any sports at all. Sure.
Sure. Can I demand an investigation?
Of course.
Okay. Lindsay, I'm going to need you for this. Sliwa, I'm going to need you for this. Mm-hmm. John, you be the judge.
All right.
So, Lindsay, how many times have we asked for Brian Windhorst to come onto our show?
I mean, recently I've asked for him a couple times. I don't know, in the past month or so.
And what has his response generally been?
I just sent you a screenshot of my text messages with him.
Okay. So we have an actual screenshot.
And his response is,
Lindsay, that's just right in the middle of dinner and family time. Just can't. So that was, you asked for him between 3 and 5. Between 3 and 5. Sliwa, you, and we'll let this out of the bag, you have recorded an interview with Brian Windhorst.
I have a can with Windhorst, correct.
In the can. What time did you record it?
I recorded just after 5 o'clock.
Okay. So you recorded it right in the middle of dinner and family time. Lindsay, are we on some sort of Brian Windhorst band list?
I don't think so. I think maybe he just happened to have time. I mean, but I will say, Sliwa said that he recorded it right after 5, and up until, well, what, two weeks ago, we were doing Fast Track at 5 o'clock, so I would only ask for guests in between 3 and 5 because of 1 hour Fast Track. Now, I have not asked him past 5 o'clock since we stopped doing 5 o'clock Fast Track hour.
That could be it.
So maybe now... now that I know we're not doing that, that's a window that could allow us to ask them.
John, can I weigh in on all this?
Yeah, please do.
All right, Mason, you have this thing.
I do.
Where people will crap on you, and you won't forgive them because you hold grudges, unless they are more famous than you.
Right.
And then you, for whatever reason, will find it in your heart to forgive them.
No, like
for
Lindsay
example,
wanted Jeff Passan today.
Correct.
Said,
no, you said you asked Lindsay.
Me.
You asked Lindsay during the show, during one of the breaks, hey, did we ever hear back from Jeff Passan? You said a week ago in the show you never wanted Jeff Passan on the show
ever again. Lindsay's the one that talked
but
me
why
into
would
it.
You, okay,
wait,
but
no,
why?
I talked him into it because I said I think that the baseball story
we
has
don't
been the same
need Jeff
every
Passan.
Single day.
Buster is better than Jeff Passan. Bob Nightingale's better
than
Jeff Passan.
You're right, but you know what? I think
Bowden is better than Jeff Passan. We don't need Windhorst. We have 15 NBA people that are as good or better.
But
leave
I like
Windhorst.
I'm trying to figure out what's going on.
Windhorst is great, and obviously now I can ask him about past the 5 o'clock hour. And then Buster, he's great too, but Buster's way more famous than Jeff Passan.
Right, but Buster will come on the show. Buster came on the show last week.
You're right, but Buster's somebody where I think that we want to have a little bit of time to promote him because he's a big deal. Passan is like, he's on Sedano like every day, you know, Passan's everywhere.
Right. I don't think we should have Passan or Windhorst on the show because they keep,
I like Windhorst, and I
they
think
keep
he's a
doing this
human
to you.
Being.
They keep doing it to you.
Okay, here's the one thing with Windhorst.
I think Brian's a great guy, but we don't need him on the show. We've got 50 other NBA people. Ramona's just as good as him. McMenamin's just as good as him.
This could have just simply been timing because he was on a long drive with his mom for like a few hours. So it could have literally just been a timing thing.
Did his mom make an appearance in the interview?
She did not make an appearance.
Oh, see, that would have been awesome. Windhorst mom on the interview?
Oh, that would have been amazing.
That would have been an exclusive right there.
Call him right now.
Alan's
he's
right.
In the car right now.
We're not. I love Windy, but we're not going to have him on anymore. Love Jeff Passan, not going to have him on anymore.
Until you wake up one day and say to Lindsay, hey, let's call Jeff Passan.
Jeff Passan is in a different
category. Or until you, when we get back in the studio, until you run into Windhorst one day and you'll come in and go, oh, Windhorst was nice to me. No. Let's have him back on.
Windhorst is one of the nicest people I've ever met, and Jeff Passan is not even on the same level. Not even anywhere close.
I agree. Right, and by the way, Jeff Passan did something that no guest has ever done in my career.
Did he say to call you guys back?
We had him on the show. And all of a sudden, he said this.
You know what, boys? Can I call you back? I actually have to grab this.
Like 2 minutes in.
And he never called back.
Yeah, yet Mason, you go crawling right back to him and ask
Lindsay
today.
Lindsay, did
Jeff Passan ever get back to you?
Lindsay,
why do
you
let
Jeff Passan on the show?
Okay, wait, Mason.
Why do you let Lindsay talk you into Jeff Passan?
Because I'm the producer and I had a good idea.
I'm trying to let her.
No, if your idea was get Jeff Passan on the show, it's not a good idea.
Right, Lindsay, don't they do a good job of making you feel like you're in control of something?
100%.
Mason, what if you got him? What if you guys scheduled him back on? And 2 minutes in, you guys say, all right, Jeff.
That's what we should do.
we actually have to take off, but thank you for your time.
We'll
call you another time.
That would be the most unbelievable thing.
No.
Can you do that?
Can I just say Steve Mason of 20 years ago would never even consider Jeff Passan or Brian Windhorst for another try. They would be dead to him. And I miss that, Mason.
But let's bring him back. Let's bring Jeff Passan on.
Love to do that,
hey,
but
Jeff,
he won't answer. He won't answer.
Gotta interrupt you for a minute. We'll call you right back, and then never call him back.
You know what, boys? Can I call you back? I actually have to grab this.
That's record-breaking.
Mace, read the exact same thing. By word, what he said, you should have the exact same
Hey, Sliwa, what time is it?
You guys are out the door.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Brian Windhorst is coming up.
Can't wait.
And Trevor Lade from Lakers Nation.
Cool. And we'll be back tomorrow, 2:55 sharp, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
You know what, boys? Can I call you back? I actually have to grab this.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.